Well, praise the Lord. The stock market's going down, but God is still on his throne.
Yes, he is.
World banks are shaken, but heaven is full of glory.
Amen.
People's hearts are failing them because of fear, and yet we're trusting in the Word of God. Is that right?
Yes.
Praise God. Good to be with you again. I want to thank you for your support, your love, and appreciation you've shown me. And I always feel like I'm coming home when I come here. Really good. Praise the Lord. Well, International Accelerated Missions, we just had a conference Friday night and all day Saturday. It was wonderfully attended. We had Ruth Fazell from Toronto and her associate, and we also had Henry Falcone from Tucson, Arizona, who has an IM school there and a prayer center and the development 24-hour prayer center there and also one in Colorado. And so we had just a glorious time coming together in Albany. And the ministry of IM is growing. We've now started over 200 discipleship schools around the globe. And we're sending out a builder's team quite often. In fact, one's going November 2nd to Sierra Leone to build an orphanage for children there. And we've got some new missionaries that we commissioned and sent them out in August. We had a prep school. And one of the most fantastic young couples that have landed is Jesse and Rochelle Diggs. They're only 22 years old, but they've got the fire of God in them, the fire of God. And they have gone to Uganda, where we have a number of works there. And we have another young couple that's going to be following them this winter to be there. And our goal is this. We're going to work with young people in Uganda and Kenya and the Congo. And as they get discipled, we want to send them to Northern Africa, to Morocco, Algeria, to the Muslim countries, because they can get visas to get in there. So we've got a long-term goal. We're home before the Lord to train 1,000 young people to go into the Middle East to touch Muslims. So you can put that on your prayer list. You know, if we can't go ourselves, we can send. We can train. We can be a part. June 28th, I was away, and I got a phone call. The church, Rock Road Chapel, was on fire. And the time I got there, there was 9 fire companies there that battled the blaze all day. I never knew a steel building could get so hot. But when they got there, they said it might have been burning a couple hours. They opened up the door, and it was just like a turbo in there. And they had an infrared gun they put on the red steel. It was 2,000 degrees. So it melted and twisted steel, and we lost like 99% of our contents and so on. And so we've been working with engineers and architects, because now the building code is so much tougher than it was in the 70s to put together. And you got the handicapped things you have to address in a building. Plus the building code's been changed. And so they wanted $40,000 to tear down the debris, and we did that ourselves to save that much money. And we thought we could save the slab and the foundation. We come to find out that the engineers and architect would not sign for it, so we had to pull out all of our cement. And then we said, good, we'll get started. Then when they came back and said, you can't even backfill with your soil. You got to bring in different type soil. So God has given, we're going to have a new building, new foundation, new backfill. There's nothing of the old there. My library and sermon notes of 43 years are burned up in the fire, so I told the people I got to get new manna. And so it's like starting all over, but we three own. And when it first happened, oh, we were sorrowful. People were weeping and that. They were married there, baptized there, and so forth. And but soon the Lord came with grace, and now instead of looking back to what we had, we're looking ahead to what we shall have.
Amen.
And the Lord has given vision of some new increased things. I'll pass around an artist's conception of what the building will look like. And on the back side is a little floor plan that you could look at. One of the components of the building is going to be, there's going to be a large chapel cafe that'll be open some mornings of the week where senior citizens and people on the way to work can stop and get coffee and a muffin. And we can just enter in dialogue, develop relationships with them. And when you come in the front of the building, this whole front is for teens. So when you come in the front, there's a huge teen room, a teen office for our leader. And so the future of the church is what? Young people. So we want the young people to feel that they are welcome. And then there'll be Sunday school rooms and offices and so on, and a large kitchen. And in the back there'll be a sanctuary that'll seat 466, which is more people than we got. But the Lord said, build for those I'm going to send. And the back wall, there will be, all you got to do is unbolt the back wall and keep on going. So in the future, if we need to build. And the Lord's been good to us, because when we came kind of up with this, and that contractor said it'd be $1.25 to $1.5 million to build it, everybody said, but the Lord's put us in some contact with people who are helping us, plus we're doing some. We've been able to buy materials the right price, and we're going to get a build for maybe around $900. So that's quite a lot of savings. And we're going to actually build it for $82 a square foot, and everybody said it's cost $125 to $150 a foot. So we're getting done for the right price. And the marvelous thing is people in the area have come up to me and said, you've got to rebuild. We need you in the church. They don't even go to church. They're prophesying. We need you. They're prophesying for the future. And the newspaper wrote an article, and they were very kind to us in the newspaper and so on. So it seems like God has put Rockwood Chapel in the forefront of people's thinking in our whole area. And it's wonderful. Now, when you deal with insurance companies, they don't give you... We bought a full coverage policy last year, and this year we have a total loss, but they only offer you half. And I arm wrestled them. Got two-thirds, and that's as far as we've gotten. But people are helping us. We're doing some ourselves, but we're going to go further to some arbitration with the state and just see if we can get some more of our policy. That would help. So you could pray for that if you would. Well, this morning I was thinking about this evening and wondering what I should share, and I felt the Lord give me something. And I want to talk to you about releasing yourself from your fears. We're living in a time now when people are very fearful. Can I retire? How am I going to live? I am retired. You know, is the government program going to be there? And all these and various things are on people's minds. You need to know we're at the end of man's kingdom, the beginning of God's kingdom. We're at the end of the second day, entering into the third day. There's a change. The buzzword in the politicians is change. And yes, there is change. And God is doing some things supernaturally. Like here we were 6 months ago saying, how are we going to buy oil next winter for this building? And here we are now saying, and the Lord says, you don't have to worry about oil. You're going to have gas furnaces. You don't have to worry. I'm going to put in a new church, a new foundation, new everything. Now, we didn't even have that in our mind 6 months ago, but God had something new. So I want to just urge you to be open in your thinking. Call upon Him, and He'll show you great and mighty things thou knowest not of. And you know, the older we get, the enemy of our soul wants to get us sitting in a rocking chair like this in some nursing home. But God would have us to be able to see the panoramic view. And the older we get, even if our bodies are getting weaker, we still should have a vibrant spirit and soul. And one way of doing that is to unlearn our fears. Could we just pray tonight? Lord, we thank You for Your love and mercy. I pray for my friends here. I pray, Lord, that as these things are shared tonight and we look at the Word, that You would help us, Lord, to unlearn our fears and have confidence and trust in Almighty God. And, Lord, I pray tonight that You'd give an open heaven and that faith would be given to mix this preaching with it, that it would profit our souls. For we pray in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. You know, I've talked to many people about going on a mission trip, and they'll all say to me, well, I don't know if I can live without electricity. I'm afraid of flying. Physically, I don't know how I'll do over there in Africa. I don't know. I might get malaria. What's my family going to do? Come up with all the types of excuses like Moses did. And yet, if some people will push through those fears and actually go on a mission trip, when they come back, they'll have some experiences they can talk about that they never would have had. And I want to urge you tonight to give your life in a way that will be worth telling stories about. Do some things that you and others will want to tell stories about. Wow. And if you don't do that, you're going to forfeit precious memories that could be yours now and through eternity. Don't accumulate possessions only. Accumulate experiences and new experiences that are different. Don't let mental monsters keep you from experiencing everything God has to offer you. Sometimes we have these mental concepts that keep us from experiencing what God has. And there are great breakthroughs for any of us if we'll only push through our fears. When there's some fearful thing, if we'll push through by the grace of God, it can be a defining moment. I want to urge you to come face to face with your fears. And we all have them. And by the grace of God, begin to unlearn those fears. I was at the Altamont Fair this year. We have a county fair. And at the cow barn. And I'm an old farmer. I just like to go and look at the cattle and everything. And two young guys, you know, their pants kind of hanging down, their shorts out, you know, and tattoos and a couple of earrings. Big, tough guys. And one says to the other, "I ain't afraid to go in there." And the other says, "Well, I ain't either, but you go first." And there's an old brown Swiss cow there drinking water. And as they started coming in, she raised her head up and went, "Woo!" Them guys jumped back. Now, they wouldn't be afraid to be in a gang fight in an alley, but they were in a new experience, and they were fearful. And now, some of us have computers we're using. I'm going to use a little computer language here. Our minds have been affected like our hard drive of our computer gets affected with a virus. Okay? And emotional fears and misconcepts have got to be uninstalled, or they'll undermine everything we do. You know, with your computer, if something isn't uninstalled, that's foreign in there. It messes up the whole computations. Is that right? But you know, half of learning is unlearning. Now, most of us here are 39 or older. We've learned a lot of things, and there's some of it that we have to unlearn. But you know, unlearn things are hard. You ever been on a Route 90 and you're going, got to get off this exit, and you miss the exit, and you got to go down 5 miles, and you got to come 5 miles back to get off your right exit? So unlearning is sometimes twice as hard as learning. All right? And I want you to know that Jesus is trying to reverse engineer religious minds. Even us who are one God apostolic, tongue talking, holy rolling, born again, heaven bound believers in the liberating power of Jesus' name, we got some religious thinking. God's trying to get us lined up that we be a contemporary with Him. Remember when Jesus was on the Sermon on the Mount, He said, "You have heard it said, but I say unto you." And what was He really trying to do? He was trying to uninstall misconcepts that the religious people had about the Old Testament teachings. And He was trying to install an upgrade with New Testament truth. Oh, God, help us. "You've heard it said, an eye for an eye. But I say, he who strikes you on the cheek, turn your cheek and let him strike you again. You've heard it said to love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." He was trying to get new concepts into their thinking, into their heart. John chapter 5 talks about a man who was crippled for 38 years. Say 38. That's a long time. Jesus came by one day and said to him, "Do you want to get well?" He said, I have nobody to help me get in the pool when the pool is stirred up." And that thinking cost him 38 years. It was stinking thinking that kept him crippled for 38 years because he felt he needed somebody to put him in the pool when the pool was stirred. But Jesus said, "Stand up, pick up your mat and walk. Jesus set him not only free physically, but mentally. That's total healing. Physically, spiritually, mentally, every area of our life, we can be set free. Let's give the Lord a clap where we thank you, Lord. We can be set free in every aspect of our life. You know what part of faith really is, Pastor Jim? It's rewiring our brains. It's upgrading our minds by downloading the mind of Christ. Let's say that again. It's upgrading our minds by downloading the mind of Christ. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you might prove for yourself how good and acceptable and perfect the will of God is for you. How many know that our minds need to be defragmented like a computer for optimum performance? Our thinking held us down. And how are we going to upgrade our minds? I take heed to according to thy word by the scriptures. Hallelujah. You know what I read recently? That they took 20 people and done brain scans on them. Then they gave them something they wanted them to do about 10 times a day. Take that finger and do that. And at the end of 30 days, they've done a brain scan on them again. And those who were faithful to do that many times a day for 30 days, that part of the memory brain, doc, had grown. There was new neurological connections in that part of the brain. And you know what I got out of that? If for 30 days I'll memorize some scripture, if for 30 days I'll think upon things that are pure and just and of good report, things that have virtue and things that have praise, if for 30 days I'll try to walk by faith and not by sight, that God would have a provision where my mind would actually start growing new connections, that I would begin to think like God would have me to think, the mind of Christ. That's a breakthrough for me to think about that. Isn't that wonderful? There's a provision already there that our natural will line up with our spiritual if we'll press through in the spiritual. Wow. Isn't that good? It's like in the Old Testament. God said, circumcise the boy on the eighth day. Why? Because on the eighth day there's a release of vitamin K. Less bleeding. But if you circumcise a boy when he's first born, you've got to give him a shot of vitamin K to clot the blood. But the provision was there if you'd done it God's way. He says, meditate upon my word. Hide it in your heart that you might not sin against me. Ah. Lord, help us. Help us, Lord. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians. How are you going to do that, though? How are you going to do that? Let this mind be in you. The Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let it dwell in you richly. Hallelujah. And when you do that, we'll begin to think his thoughts. I want to get back to fears. We all have fears. And we need to face our fears. We've got to unlearn our fears. Our brains need to be rewired. We need to use the word and face our fears and conquer them by the word of God. Afraid of the dark. My God will never leave me or forsake me. Afraid of going broke. My God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. All the demonic influence that's coming in on me, but greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. I don't know what to do. I need wisdom with all that's happening in the economy. Ask of the Lord who gives liberally wisdom to those who ask. Oh, there's an answer for everything, isn't there? And Doc, you would know this better. There's a psychological society, and they have a reference book where they categorize all the psychological problems. And I seen one of these. It was published about 1972. The book was about that thick. Yeah, now it's about that thick. There are over 2,000 classified forms of problems now. And here's a couple of them. The fear of looking poor in pictures. Another one, there's a long technical name, the fear of having peanut butter stuck to the roof of your mouth. You've all taken a spoonful of peanut butter. You know how that feels when it gets stuck up. But all kinds of things now, fears. But I was reading, Doc, that when babies are born, they only have two fears. One of them is the fear of falling, and the other the fear of loud noises. Any other fear that you have, you've learned it. You weren't born with it, you learned it. Boy, this is an eye-opener to me, huh? Wow. And, you know, we really need a relationship with Jesus, or else we're not going to grow like we should. We're going to be uptight. We're going to have problems. We need a day-by-day, moment-by-moment relationship with the Lord. We need to thank God for the cross, that He died, shed His blood for us. But we need to keep our eyes even beyond the cross onto the throne. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And behold His glory and His majesty and His beauty. Fears have got to be unlearned for fulfillment in our life and for fruitfulness. How many like to be fruitful? Got to unlearn certain fears so you can enter into territory you never entered in and have different experiences you never had. I was preaching down in Brooklyn one night. I got out of the service about 11 o'clock, and I ended up in Spanish Harlem. I don't know how I did, and I hadn't had no supper. It was a chicken place on the corner, and I pulled in, went in the chicken place. I was the only person there with my complexion. And when I got in there, they had glass about this thick where you'd put your money on under, just like a bank, and then they'd put the chicken down under. And when I went in there, there was about 8 or 9 pretty rough-looking guys, and then I went in. I just said, "Hey, how is everybody? You having a good evening? Is this chicken any good? You think I'll like it?" "Yeah, man, you'll like it." "Yeah, man, good stuff." Well, anyways, 30 years ago, I wouldn't have done that. I'd have been afraid to go in there. But, you know, I made a friend. "Hey, this is good chicken. Hallelujah." You know, so, but there's certain fears you have to unlearn. I'm afraid of heights. I still don't really enjoy airplane rides, but I have forced myself. I have faced the situation. I've flown all over the globe. If I hadn't have forced beyond that fear of heights, I would have never had all these missionary experiences. And so many stories I could talk about. I could never have had them. So I wanted to say, folks, don't keep yourself from experiencing all God has. 1 John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear." Oh, the love of God. "Baptize me, Lord, in your love. I want to express my love to you." He's a romantic. He loves his bride. He loves his children. He loves his body. And if I can just bathe myself in his love, there's no fear in that. The God of love is fearless. How many know God's fearless? He's got no fears. And if I grow in his love with him, I can grow fearless also. There's only one God-ordained fear, and that is to fear the Lord. And you know what? If you really fear God, you don't have to fear anybody or anything. I want to urge you to learn to trust God more. This message is helping me tonight. I hope it's helping you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Expose yourself to the very thing you're afraid of. Abraham led Isaac up to Mount Moriah to the altar. Moses went to Pharaoh after being 40 years a fugitive in the desert. Jesus went to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Don't hide, brethren, but face your altar of sacrifice. Face the Pharaoh that you've been running from. Follow the Lord, even into a season of wilderness, if that's what He has for you. Don't hide from your fears. And, you know, how many here have a fear of being rejected? Well, the cure for rejection is not avoiding it, but exposing yourself to rejection again. Because if you do that enough, you're going to get an immunity. I used to be afraid of rejection, and I hope you people love me, and I believe you do. But it won't cripple me if you all turned and said, we reject you. I'm going to go on with God because I've gotten victory in that. But I trust we can all go together, you know. But in the ministry, if you don't get over that fear of rejection, or if you're a car salesman, you know, I mean, you got to get over the fear of rejection or you ain't going to sell cars. Is that right? I mean, more people say no than yes. But you've got to face that rejection again and again so you can push beyond it. You will build an immunity if you face that fear that you have. You know, the Bible says that the devil prowls around like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. Not who he can, but who he may. We have to give him permission. Don't be afraid of the devil. And one of the greatest things the devil tries to do is put discouragement on us and fear on us. Really. Really. I don't have any money now, but if I did, I'd go buy General Motors stock. And you can buy General Motors stock for $3.50. I think you're going to be okay. Now, most people are saying, I got to get out now. But I'm going to press on beyond all those fears. How about you? Praise the Lord. And remember, the devil is the accuser of the brethren. And he wants to scare heaven out of you. But chase him by the Holy Ghost grace that God gives you. Greater is he who is in you than he is in the world. Remember Jesus when there was that lunatic who would break chains. He had so many devils. Jesus went up and faced him. He wasn't afraid at all. Wow. And when there was a crowd that came around Jesus, they wanted to arrest him. He stepped forward and identified himself. I am he. He didn't have any fear. Lord, help us. Help us, Lord. He was led as a sheep to slaughter, a lamb to the shears, and he opened not his mouth. Think of Daniel in the lion's den. Ah! The spiritual grizzle he had that the lions didn't dare touch him. You know, we're all afraid of lions, but you know, there's some people who train lions. Is that right? If you're afraid of an angry dog, there's some people aren't afraid of any dog because they can take authority. It says in Genesis that we're to have the dominion over the animals. And there's a born fear in every animal towards man. So if we recognize that. And look at Jesus on the cross. He was without fear. He was fulfilling what the Father had given him to do. Look at the three young boys who were told to bow or else you're going into the furnace was heated seven times. And they said, our God's able to deliver us, but if not, we're still not going to bow. They threw him in the fire. The guards who threw him in were burnt and killed. And Nebuchadnezzar looked in and said, how many do we throw in? Three? There's four in there. And one of them looks like the Son of Man. Now, he'd never watched Christian TV. He'd never been to this church. He'd never been to Oral Roberts. He'd never been anywhere. But when he saw Jesus, he knew who he was. And it says that the boys came out of there and they did not even have a smell of smoke. And the things that had bound them were burned off and they were free. Oh Lord, help us to face our fears and take our stand. The courage of those three young men had changed the king and the kingdom. Suppose, remember when Nicky Cruz held, have you ever seen that cross of it? Held that knife to David Wilkins and said, I'm going to cut you in 1,000 pieces. And what did he reply? There'll be 1,000 pieces crying out, yeah, I love you. Now suppose he let fear grip him at that point. You would have never heard of David Wilkerson. You had never been in any team challenges. There's 65 of them in Europe alone. A couple of hundred of them in America. Thousands of young people have been touched by King John's body, because David overcame his fears. Wow. Say yes, Amen or ouch or something. Remember David? He faced a bear and slew him. He faced a lion and slew him. You know what? Some of the greatest experiences you'll ever have are the scariest. But later you can tell a story about it. Wow! Remember when you were a little kid? You got courage enough to get on the merry-go-round. If Daddy was on this side, Mommy was on this side, and you rode that horse in the merry-go-round, right? But a few years later, Mommy and Daddy wouldn't go with you. You got on the biggest roller coaster you could find. You overcame your fear, didn't you? You went beyond Mom and Dad. And I want to urge you in life to do that. Oh, I want to ask you, are you living your life in a way that it's worth telling stories about? I want to urge you, quit running and start chasing. And the goal of your life is not allowing monsters and fears to control your life. You know? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Anybody here ever bored? It's inexcusable. Boredom is really refusing to be who God made you to be. Follow Jesus in his footsteps. You'll never be bored. You'll be full of excitement. Listen, brethren, keep you from all the God made you or all the God made be. And remember that half of learning is what? Unlearning. Okay? And if you get into the Word of God, it will rewire our brain, our thinking, to be in alignment with and having a devotional heart to Christ, having the mind of Christ in us. Face your fears and don't avoid them. Now, when a young guy is 18, never really faced any danger, he goes into the Army, what's the first thing you do in training? You'll learn hand-to-hand combat. Come home and in 3 or 4 months from basic training, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. And the fears are gone. They're ready to go somewhere. And I believe quick work enough to get rid of our fears also. My son went in the 92nd Airborne to be a paratrooper. And they don't take you out the first day and put you in an airplane and drop you out. You learn how to fold the parachute. You learn how to fold the second one. You learn how to pull the cord. You know how to pull the line so you can steer yourself. You learn how to fasten on your body. And then the first thing they do, they take you up to something that's 90 foot tall, put a harness on you, hook a chain to your back, and they drop the floor out from under you, and you go down 90 feet. When you get down about 15 foot, it slows you up, and you come down on the ground. Well, you go from that to that, and finally, you're in a plane up 6,000 feet, and you're jumping out. And you land on your ground ready to fight. I believe God could bring us from where we're at, that we're ready for the challenges of the 21st century to do spiritual warfare and so on. Could we look at Psalm 27 together? Oh, there's lots of scriptures we could look at. Is this all right so far? Are we learning anything, catching some things? Good. Psalm 27, David here. Oh, what a declaration of faith he has, Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid of? Why could he say that? Because he was trusting in God's strength to keep him. He's walking in alignment with the Lord. There is no fear when you're in God's will and he's with you. When the wicked come up against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumble and fall. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. What a declaration. An army around who wants to take me over, I will not fear. Why? Because David had confidence in who? God. Though war may arise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Now, the Lord really loved David because David had a heart after God's heart. And though he had sinned some things, even that were guilty of capital punishment, whenever he was rebuked, he repented and got right. He had a heart after God's heart. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, let's all say that, in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. He had reverent fear of God and knew that God would protect him and keep him. You know, in this country, we got Blue Cross and Red Cross. But, you know, if you're in Uganda or Mozambique tonight, there is no such things. There is no health insurance programs like that. Did you know why Jesus was born in a manger? His parents had an HMO for a carrier. Very poor insurance. And I heard about this reverend who went up to heaven and gave his name. And he said, "Why, come in. You have an honored place right here." Lawyer went up to heaven, knocked the door, and St. Peter said, "Boy, that's pretty rare to have a lawyer here, but your name's on the list. Come on in." And there was an HMO manager came up to heaven, and St. Peter said, "Yeah, you can come on in, but you can only stay 3 days." Is it all right to have fun in God's house a little bit? Oh, Lord, help us. Help us, Lord. And you can go on down through this psalm, you know. Like, look at verse 10. When my mother and father forsake me, and then the Lord will take care of me. I mean, you would think your mother and father would take care of you, but look what's happening today. Mothers leave, fathers leave. Children in foster care. Children sometimes have to say, "The Lord's going to take care of me." I like verse 13. That just helped me a lot, Pastor. I would have lost heart unless I would have believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Oh, how can we go on if we don't believe that God is going to show himself mighty in this part of Massachusetts? How are we going to do it? We believe that he will, right? Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall what? Strengthen your heart. We just look at a couple other scriptures. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 10, and you're going to see how Jesus helped some of these disciples get over their fears. Matthew chapter 10. All right. He called his 12 disciples. He gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness. And everybody's saying all kinds of disease. All right, look at verse 5.